Morning. Is that sweatshirt allowed in this room? Wow. Boston Red Sox, huh? Okay.
Yeah, still show my faith in those guys, even if they got
swept. Yeah, I'm a diehard Indians fan, so I couldn't wear that. Yesterday worked on a third down, talked a lot about where they are, where the Steelers are on third down. Excellent offensively in that area. And then defensively, they create some problems with some of the different things that they do there that you have to be aware of. Everybody has to be on the same page, got to be able to communicate those things out, and made some strides offensively on third down over the past couple games, but need to do a lot better job. And made more significant strides defensively there, and that's something we've got to maintain, and this will be a challenge. So moving the red area today, red area goal line, short yardage, review the things that we've done from the past 2 days, and then roll into Saturday. So with that, open up to questions.
And then would you be willing to trade Josh Kurtz? There's supposedly a lot of interest from other teams calling somebody with interest in Josh Kurtz.
Josh, no interest in moving Josh Kurtz.
Can you address how the Browns will resolve this contract issue with him? I know that you and George are the guys who gave him this deal, but...
Well, really, it's not something that's that we're focusing on. It's Pittsburgh, you know, and that's what Josh is focusing on, and all the contract things and things like that are things that are constantly being looked at and addressed, and not just with Josh, but we look at the whole roster with all those different issues. So that's something that's separate and aside from what we're trying to do each day. It's not something that we're not aware of or not working on, but that's an ongoing process.
I appreciate you saying that, but is it fair, is this an unusual situation to have a guy playing like he does and stuck in the middle of a contract like that?
I think every contract is different, and you have to look at it differently, and every player is different, and you're always trying to do the best thing that you can organizationally and for the player and take all the different factors into account. It's just hard to group them into very specific boxes because every situation is so different.
Obviously that, you know, he would like his deal redone. Are you at least happy with, you know, how he's handled the situation on as well as off the field?
I really enjoy Josh. I mean, I like him as a player. I like him as a person. He's a fun guy to talk to. He's been a great guy to get to know, and he's a really good person to have on the team.
In your mouth, you say you don't want to trade him, but just what is he? What value does he add to your team? What does he do in your eyes?
I think the first thing he does is his contributions on special teams, and not just as a returner, but also as a coverage player. I've liked the way he's developed as a receiver. I think there's a lot of room to grow there and to continue to develop, and he's working at that, and I like that. And, you know, as he continues to progress, his role will continue to progress. And I also like the ability to play him on downs where it's not a Josh Kurtz play. It's just a play, and he's part of that. And then he can contribute in a meaningful way in that play. But it also, you now have the ability to do any of those other things that you want to do, but you don't have to.
Whatever you want to call it, way back in the offseason, a couple months after you came, that he might get some time as a defensive back, and that hasn't happened. Is that put on hold? Is it been squashed, or where does that stand?
Yeah, I definitely haven't ruled that out. I mean, he's got good instincts, in terms of angles of the football. He's a physical guy. He tackles well. And, you know, we're asking him to do a lot of different things right now. And he's got a full plate. So as we make progress, I don't see why at some point we couldn't do that.
You said your focus, obviously, on the Steelers right now. Is this something you would look at or address with them after the season?
In terms of the timetable, you know, that's an organizational thing that we'll look at. And, you know, what we're both doing right now, Josh and I are trying to get ready for the game Sunday.
Can you tell us if he's asked for a trade?
No.
He has not?
No.
At Kent State, Cribbs rushed for more than 3,000 yards. What about Cribbs as a running back? Is that something that you ever brainstormed on, would brainstorm on?
Well, he really he has done some of those things. Now, how you get to it could be different. You know, whether he's playing quarterback and his ability to run the football there, whether he's gotten it on reverses, things like that. You can create it a lot of different ways. Did that some with Brad Smith in New York, where you get into you really play five wide receivers and put Brad Smith in the backfield, and Brad was the running back. Or you could flex them out, and now you get five wide receivers. You'd go four wide receivers, with Brad Smith being the fourth, put him in the backfield, and now you're really in a three wide receiver set with a back. And you can build different packages off that. And it's not, you know, I like doing things like that, but you got to be able to incorporate that into the rest of the offense and make sure that you're not spending so much time trying to develop that as a sort of secondary package, or, you know, part of a smaller part of the game plan that you can't spend the reps on the other stuff.
Understood. On the creative ways you could use him and have used him as a runner, does he have the talent to be a conventional, the talent, the disposition? He would seem obviously to have the size, but does he have the whole 9 yards of what you would need to be a conventional running back if anybody would ever want to look at that?
You know, I think that he's got a lot of ability to do a lot of different things. And in terms of conventional, there's so many different types of running backs. Whatever style you are, if you can find the hole, if you can do the things that you need to do in protection, check downs, things like that, you know, that's something that has to be developed, looked at, and really worked out. But we've been emphasizing the receiver role, which I think he's made a lot of progress at, and I'm going to continue to do that, and we'll still use him in different spots as we go.
Can you talk about, you put him on the field for not just Josh Cribbs plays or gadget stuff. Have you noticed a change in the defense? Are they playing him more honest, or is it still on alert for a gadget thing?
Well, what you always want to do is have there be no change to the defense. And that's, it's not, when you play enough, you can't say, hey, alert this or alert that. I mean, the guy's in for enough plays where it could happen, it could not happen, and that's what you want is, okay, he's out there. But
got that point?
Different each game. Some people are more aware, some people are more conscious of it, some people maybe don't put as much emphasis on it. It's really like Sproles in San Diego. For a long time, he just came in for those types of plays, and now he's playing more running back and creates all the same problems, but he also creates the problems in the regular plays that they play.
When you watch, if you watch any of that Monday night game, why is that Miami Wildcat as successful as it is?
Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown, those are two pretty good cats.
Yeah. So,
you know,
I know you don't have those two guys on your team, but is there anything that you could take from what they do to make?
Yeah, you fit the styles of the players that you have into those positions. You look at different plays. I mean, we ran the New England playoff game. We had a whole series where we used Brad and Leon Washington, and able to gain significant amount of yards with those types of plays. You're always trying to look at things that you can borrow from other teams and incorporate it. And then you got to fit it into what you do well, what your skill sets are, how it fits for you, how much time do you want to put into it. There's been a lot of success with that down in Miami, so I'm sure you put a little more time into it because it's hits and it keeps hitting, and everybody sort of has their own variation of it as you go through.
All the teams that are supposedly interested, including, you know, NFL.com, identified 5 or 6 teams at least that have expressed an interest in trading for Josh Gribbs. You say that you have no interest in moving him, but, I mean, if somebody came in with an offer and knocked your socks off, are you listening? Are you taking the calls?
We take all the calls. We listen. I mean, I don't know what reports have come in or what reports are out there. I didn't really look at any of that stuff. I can just tell you where we're at.
When you take the calls, I mean, is it kind of like, sorry, goodbye, or are you willing to, are you listening? I mean,
you always listen to everything, but you have to, and you listen to everything about any offer that any presents, and you're always trying to improve the team in terms of reports of this team or that team, or there's a lot of things that are reported that really aren't true. So
fans would want to know, why haven't you improved the team without him being on it?
I mean, depends on what's brought up, and like I said, Marla, I have no interest in moving Josh Gribbs, so I mean, it's all hypothetical, so I mean, hypothetically, you listen.
You were saying, and as far as the new deal goes, in terms of timetable, it's an organizational thing you would look at. And just to be clear, does that mean that you would revisit a contract when the time is right? It's just a matter of when that time is right, or?
Really, to be clear, it's something that we look at organizationally, and there's no we haven't set any timetables for anything, but there's a lot of different things that go on that you're constantly looking at throughout the course of the year and planning. And like I said, this is a process, and you're looking at things short term, you're looking at things long term, and there's a lot of different moving parts that go into all the things that you do on a daily basis.
The problem with renegotiating contract for him is you got 52 other guys saying, what about me?
You know, there's so many different things that go into it. Not really been the focal point right now.
Are you confident that he will be both here and as passionate about the game as he always has been if there's no extension in sight and you don't trade him?
You know, both those things are, you know, if, and I can tell you Josh is excited, enthusiastic. We have a great relationship. I really like him. I like the things that he does. And Josh will be a Cleveland Brown.
Receiving core right now, or are there other areas that they need to improve to become more consistent threats on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we can do better, and what I like about the group is they're conscious of the things that need to be improved. They work at the things that need to be improved. There's a real sense of they're all together, and they're all trying to make sure that they're producing as much as they can, and spacing is huge on routes, and how to get open against man-to-man coverage, and things you got to do against different types of coverage, the adjustments based on if the corner's up in your face or if he's off. There's a lot of things that they're working on. Even going outside yesterday with the cold, I mean, I think that's the coldest day that Muhammad's ever been a part of. And I had to explain to him, it's getting colder. You know, we haven't reached the, this isn't the high water mark here. This isn't the warm Georgia rain you're used to. And there's going to be this stuff called snow coming. I don't know if he's ever seen snow. Even a guy like Kaluka, who he hasn't played in any kind of cold weather. So it's a little bit of an adjustment for those guys, but it's not going away.
This is probably not something else that you can really address directly either, but I feel like I have to ask. Peter King threw out Blake Costanzo's name as the person who hit James Davis in the post-practice opportunity period, and I think Peter reported it that Blake also did not have pads on. So James did not have pads, Blake did not have pads. So I'm throwing it out there. Can you comment on any of those things?
Yeah, I feel really comfortable with where we are. I really do. And that's really all I have to add. But I feel really, really comfortable with where we are.
I hear that's all you want to say about it. But the fact that Adam Schefter is a pretty respectable guy, said that witnesses told him this is what happened. I mean, what do you feel about that?
I feel that I don't really have anything else to add. I feel that a lot of things get put out there that get put out there. So I don't really know what else to add to it.
Corey yesterday said that he got fined for that unnecessary roughness on Edwards in the end zone. After watching on film, is there anything he could have done differently?
It's hard. It's hard to coach because it happened to us twice against Jacksonville, where we got hit with the same sort of thing, the unnecessary roughness on the quarterback, and you look at it and you're thinking, okay, what can you tell the guy to do differently? And then I don't know if you remember the Giants game, I think it was against Vince Young maybe, where kind of had the quarterback wrapped up and then stopped and Vince Young kept running. And it's you want to make sure you're coaching the guys to do the right thing because you don't want to get a penalty, you don't want to get them fined, and you're always trying to give them the best way to do things. And it's subjective and you appreciate that. It's the official's call and you respect the official's call, and then you're always trying to go back and say, okay, well, this is what you could have done differently, and we'll keep working at it to make sure that we avoid those. Sometimes you get a call and it's just the way it is, and you got to accept it and move on to the next play and hopefully not get the same call the next time.
Is he back and it's all systems go with him?
Yeah, he's back. He's did some extra work with it. He came back or got back in yesterday afternoon, so he was part of the afternoon meetings, worked some extra with Brian Cox. He'll do some extra work here today, and we should be caught up here.
Going to be a game time decision, or is there a real strong chance now that he's going to be out there?
Yeah, I really think we have to go through the rest of the weekend right up to the game to make sure that we're ready to go. But again, he's another week further along. I think we've made some progress there, and Phil's worked at it. So he's doing everything he can to get back out. But just want to wait until we get closer to make sure, because that's a really important decision.
Pretty sloppy if the weather's bad. So how do you coach up a kick? I mean, Phil obviously has that experience kicking on that field, but how do you coach up a kicker who's not really familiar with that?
Billy's kicked in a lot of different fields or on a lot of different fields too, so it wouldn't be his first time playing in difficult weather for him. Is it? Anybody have a weather report? Is it supposed to be rainy or? It's not good. Oh, good. Cold.
For you guys.
Yeah, he's done it. I know he did it here in the past. He's done it here a little bit for us this season, and you work on it at different points, and sometimes it's a bigger part, sometimes it isn't. It's just you're always experimenting with different things, and you're always looking at what other people are doing well and trying to figure out how you can incorporate that in the system. And like I said, sometimes it's a bigger part, sometimes it isn't, and just you develop. Like with Brad, I mean, he'd broken, I think, 51 NCAA records, and he's done it quite a bit there, and he's still developing as a receiver. I know he's caught some balls, and you're trying to use those skill sets the best you can in a lot of different ways.
Steve, one more question about it.
Josh, but in a different vein. 2005 was your last year at New England, and you guys were famous for finding guys that play one position and move them to another position. They become successful, Vrabel, and people like that. Did you guys have an interest in Josh, either in the draft or free agency? Were you aware of him much? Or?
You know, I don't really know, because he was an offensive player, and the players that I was looking at were more defensive backs and things like that. So I didn't really do a lot of work on those things. And he's a free agent, right? So probably wasn't that high on the board at that point. But it's you're always looking for guys that can add some value that's unique, and develop him into more and more of a primary role. And you love it. I mean, you get a free agent like that, it's good business.
What you guys did with a lot of players up there, I mean, he's kind of the poster child for that. If, you know, he would have fit right in with what you guys were doing at that time.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we didn't make that decision. really glad that we didn't make that decision. So, all right, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you.